Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships.
Hello! So today we're going to be diving into conflict resolution. Because, let's face it, if you've been in a relationship, I can almost 100% guarantee that you've come across some conflict in your relationship one way or another. And the thing is, there's different ways to be able to resolve conflict in healthy ways that don't mean that it's going to be the end of your relationship or it's going to damage it and it's going to, you know, impact it in a negative way for years and years and years. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, the thing is, with conflict, I must admit, if I was thinking back to my past, because I've been in narcissistic relationships, I've been in relationships with people who haven't necessarily been very emotionally intelligent. I've been the not very emotionally intelligent one in the past too. as hard as it is for me to actually admit that, I didn't realise until probably about, 5 years ago that it was actually possible to have healthy conflict where, you know, you both get to an outcome that you both feel good and happy with. If I think about previous relationships, you know, I wasn't able to get that because there was a lack of empathy. There was a lack of self-awareness. There was a lack of understanding other people's point of views. There was, when we think about narcissistic relationships, for example, you know, they love to be able to say no just for the sake of saying no. And there's often a lack of accountability of narcissists as well. They don't take any responsibility. So I do believe, after looking at everything over the last sort of 5 years or so, I do believe that there are some really important components that are needed first before you're actually able to, get to a healthy resolution when you come across a conflict in your relationship. And it's basically understanding the two people in the relationship. So with yourself, you know, are you accountable? Are you self-aware? Are you emotionally available? Are you fully understanding of who you are as a person? Because that's really important, and I'll get to the reason why in a moment. And obviously it's really important for your partner to be exactly the same, you know, emotionally intelligent, self-aware, have a level of empathy, understand who they are. Because when we have a look at conflict resolution, in particular unhealthy conflict resolution, it's often to do with when you've either got someone who's narcissistic or someone that doesn't know themselves enough and they are just agreeable to their partner. And the reason why this is so detrimental to a relationship is that it damages connection. If you just agree to what your partner is saying, or you're doing things out of fear of being rejected, fear of being disapproved of, fear of upsetting your partner, then there's going to be issues in your relationship because you're creating a distance. You're not being truthful to who you are and what you actually want. So you're never going to get to that space in your relationship where you feel content and fulfilled. End of. Because you're not able to communicate it. And obviously it's about being with a partner that can accept that as well, because obviously narcissistic relationships in particular, being able to communicate to them in a way where you're listened to and in a way where, you know, you're actually working together as a team to get to an outcome is nearly impossible, because narcissists, they're not accountable for their actions. There's a lack of emotional intelligence. There's a lack of self-awareness, and that's going to cause issues within your relationship because it's more about control. And only if you have got, you know, a weapons grade psychology and you've been studying for 30 years of behavioral psychology and communication and all these different things, are you going to be able to manage to to have a successful conversation with a narcissist where you can resolve conflict? And I'm not even kidding, because, you know, we've talked about narcissists in the past. The empathy part of the brain is underdeveloped. So it's, you know, it's a genuine disorder, and it's something that cannot be fixed and it cannot be healed. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the other things that can obviously hinder conflict resolution. Codependence. I kind of want to bring that up first. So, if you've been wondering, like, what is a codependent relationship? A codependent relationship, in a nutshell, is where you've got two people who have almost merged their identity into the relationship. They don't know who they are outside of that relationship. There's a need, an addiction to that relationship. Often you have one partner that's quite controlling in the relationship, that kind of directs it, and the other person that tends to be quite agreeable. So, for example, a narcissistic relationship would be a form of a codependent relationship. So the thing is, if you're in a codependent relationship, it's really important to address that, and I'll probably do a deeper episode on codependency because it's really, really important, because it stops you from actually understanding yourself and what you need as a person. And do you remember what I was saying at the very beginning? You know, part of healthy conflict resolution is understanding and knowing yourself. So let's kind of talk about a few different things which will actually help you to have a healthy discussion if there is conflict in your relationship. Now, when I think about, you know, certain levels of conflict that I've had in the past, if I think about the ones that are, you know, that were more negative versus ones that ended positively, they've got one major thing, you know, in common. There's a big difference. And it's outcome. Healthy, you know, healthy conflict resolutions usually have a specific outcome. The person knows exactly what they want, you know, for that conflict to be over, to be resolved. People who don't know what they need or what they want usually get carried away with their emotions, and they just want to communicate the hurt, the pain, and it often comes from this thing of wanting to punish people. You know, when we see someone do something wrong, and there's a part of us that wants to tell them off and tell them how naughty they are, and you know, all these different things. And that's what people tend to get really swept up in conflict resolution. Is, do you know, we're basically asking the question subconsciously, do you realize how bad you are? You know, this is what we're communicating to the other person. And I've definitely done this. I have definitely done this in the past. So, and this is like coming from, you know, childhood, really. If you think about it, when we're a child and we saw someone doing something naughty, we're often waiting for a parent or a teacher or some sort of adult to step in and tell them how naughty they are. And if we're in a situation where there's no one around, well, we're going to want to mimic that and tell that person how naughty they are. And this is what we tend to do, you know, in conflict resolution, when we're more focused on communicating that versus being solution focused. Because the thing is, when you've got two people who are solution focused, you're able to work around that. You're able to go, ah, okay, cool, got you, this is what we need to go ahead and do. Yep, that's absolutely fine. We both feel happy with that. Fantastic. I'm really glad we had this conversation. Versus, what on earth do you do that for? I can't believe you. Don't you even think about me? You know, all this kind of stuff. And it can really, you know, when emotions get involved, we can take it to great heights, can't we? We can seriously make it into something that's absolutely huge. It's a big catastrophe, and you know, some very out of character things can happen when we are swept away with our emotions. So when we have a look as well with healthy conflict resolution, there's usually a few things that healthy couples do. So obviously we've talked about the outcome, you know, being able to say, right, this is what we want, this is how things, you know, this is what's going to make things better, fantastic. Well, the second thing that most healthy couples do is they go, oh, right, what do we need to do to stop this from happening in the future? How can we work together to make this not happen in the future? Because I don't want you feeling this way, I don't want to feel this way, and I want to make sure that we prevent that in the future. And it's being able to, you know, in this way, it's being able to future-proof the relationship, because you're taking something and going, ah, okay, cool, this is what we need to go ahead and do, this is what how we're going to solve, and this is what makes people feel safe in a relationship as well. So, you know, if you think about this as well, this is about being able to communicate your needs from knowing yourself. And also, this is about vulnerability, being able to be open and vulnerable about what you actually need as a person, and also how you are feeling. Because often with conflict resolution, you know, one of the things that we feel like we need to communicate across is, look, do you realize how this has hurt me? And the thing is, you can do that in a healthy way as well. You're able to say, you know, look, I feel really upset by this because X, Y, Z. I want to be able to work with you to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. So you're able to communicate that. And also, the other thing that's really important is, if someone's upset you, feel free to actually look at the intention of that person's actions. So it might be that, you know, someone was late to a, you know, to a birthday party or something like that, or a dinner or whatever it might be. And the reason they were late is because they were picking something up from the shops for you. And, you know, they knew that you needed this, so they decided to, you know, go and do that, and they were trying to do a good thing. So you can suddenly see that the intention wasn't for them to be late, they just wanted to do something to make you happy, and they didn't mean to be late in the process. Versus, you know, someone who prioritised a business call before they left work, you know, that decided that that was more important, they remained on the phone, and then they turned up 45 minutes later. Well, the intention there wasn't to, you know, prioritize you in that relationship. So, you know, it's always about perspective. I mean, you might even turn around with that second situation. It might be completely innocent, and it might be that they just lost track of time, and they didn't mean, you know, they were the ones who organized the meal out, and they just ended up on that call just a bit longer than they previously expected. But I think intention has a lot to do with how we feel about something as well. What was that person's intention for what they did? Was it to actually hurt you? Or was it just some sort of mistake and it wasn't how they wanted you to feel? And I think being able to put intention into perspective really does make such a difference when we're looking at a situation. Because, like I said, sometimes when we, you know, go through conflict, there's so many emotions going around. There's also so many trauma patterns, so many stories that we tell ourselves that can trigger things. So, for example, if you've been in a relationship where you've been cheated on in the past, and the way that they cheated on you was, you know, one of the signs that you noticed was they were texting a lot on their phone. And then you go into a new relationship and they're texting lots on their phone. You know, that might suddenly trigger something. You might have an argument and there might be all this insecurities coming out. And it's just because of that past trauma of feeling insecure and afraid that you're being treated on again. So it's important to understand the stories that you're telling yourself, and also to look at everything objectively. Like, what's the truth of this situation and what's the outcome you're looking for? Because sometimes when we are able to actually stand back and do something like that, we're able to think a little bit more clearly. And that's really, really important. Really, really important. The other thing as well, whilst we're talking about truth, is understanding the person that we're dealing with, who they are at their core. Who are they? Because what I tend to find a lot in, certain relationships and, when I'm talking to different people, there's often sometimes this element of wanting to change someone. And can I just say how damaging that is? Wanting to change someone, especially when it's against their own will. Because the truth is, our personality, it's created from, so many different events in our life, and our core personality of who we are has been created from the ages of 0 and 7 years old. All the different traumas you've experienced, all the different belief systems that you've had, all the different ways and mannerisms that you've adopted, whether that's through, understanding, through genetics, or whether that's through, the way your parents nurtured you, that you're going to hold on to that. That's not going to be, number one, a really easy change to make, You can't turn around to someone and say, no, don't do that anymore, because it's in your blueprint of what you want to go ahead and do. And it's not to say that if you've had trauma in your childhood or anything like that, you can't heal it, or you can't, improve your, symptoms or anything like that. It's not. But it's saying that if you're trying to change someone for who they are and their personality, especially against their will, that's not a good place to be either. So, for example, let's turn back to the narcissist. If you're wanting a narcissist to have empathy and you're trying to control them to have empathy, it's not going to happen. Because number one, the empathy part of the brain is underdeveloped. It's not something that's natural to them. It's not something that's actually fully there for them. So you're not going to be able to change them. So be aware of when you're trying to change someone, because again, this sort of leads back into codependent patterns, trying to feel safe, trying to stop feeling insecure and afraid of actually being vulnerable in that relationship. And I think the other thing with codependence is it's this thing of wanting to feel needed rather than feeling wanted and desired. So when we're talking about conflict, it's really, really important as well to know when to step back. And I think about Jonam and I. We both have very fiery personalities. We always joke and said we should have been lawyers because we've got very analytical minds. We both can argue, very, very well. We're both keen to be the winners. And we are both very, very keen when we're in the heat of the moment to get our point across and to be right. Which is not necessarily healthy, and it's not necessarily the best combination of personalities in that particular situation. And when I was talking to one of my mentors around this, I loved what they said. And it was like the ability to call time out, walk away, and deal with it when you're in a better frame of mind. So we always say to each other, the sanest person calls time out first. And what it means is it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, that's it, that's the end of the conversation. It's not stonewalling or anything like that. It's being able to say something a little bit like this. I'm feeling really frustrated right now. I really want to be able to get to the solution, but I know in this current frame of mind, I'm really going to struggle to do that. Can we talk about this in the next, in an hour or so when we've both calmed down? Because I know that this is really important to me, it's really important to you, and I think it's important for our relationship too. So being able to just communicate that, see how that actually creates connection. Can you see how that changes, you know, being able to ask for that space in a very healthy and positive way, especially when things might be heated? Now, the funny thing is, I'll be completely honest, when I get fired up, I get really fired up. So it's taken a long time to be able to say something like that in our relationship. And what we actually brought in to begin with was just being able to say the word time out. And I remember the first time, the first time I tried to implement this, I literally stopped talking. I couldn't even say the words time out, and I had to walk out of the room. But we both already had the agreement that if we had like a disagreement or anything like that, you know, that's basically what we would do. So there was an understanding there. But it just makes me laugh looking back. I just remember I stopped. I wasn't able to say anything, and I just turned round, walked out of the room. But it was one of the healthiest things that I could have done for our relationship in that moment. And you know, I think this is the thing as well. It's recognizing and remembering that we're human. You know, we're not gonna be picture perfect. We're not gonna be, you know, all, you know, softly spoken and, you know, never have an argument, never have a disagreement, and, you know, it's not going to be perfect all the time. And I think this is the thing as well, you know, we can't expect ourselves, when we bring in certain rules like that into our relationships, to expect that we're going to execute them perfectly. And I think this is the other thing, is being able to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, and to be able to work with that. And I think that's really, really important too. I think if I think about our relationship, we've both openly discussed about things that, you know, bother us about each other's personalities. That's not to say that our personality quirks are wrong or right or, you know, anything like that, but it's kind of understanding the truth of each other and how to interact with all those different parts of our personalities. And I think that's something that people really struggle to actually talk about too, because again, it takes that level of vulnerability. I mean, if I think about our relationship, for me, I am definitely more of the emotional one. I need more of the love, more of the emotion, you know, like all the juicy parts of the relationship, I'd say. And Jonah's definitely more like logical. So he focuses more on logic. So sometimes he will struggle when I go into emotional mode, and I'll also struggle with him at times when he's in logical mode and I'm needing that emotional bit. So it's important to be able to, you know, talk about those things, talk about your needs, talk about how to manage the things that you might be struggling with, so that you're able to build something that works for the both of you. And I think that's the thing about conflict. It's being able to go, okay, this is an opportunity to make things better. And I think that's what a lot of people tend to forget. You know, they tend to look at conflict as this, you know, psychological scorecard of who wins and who loses, but it's not. It's an opportunity to make things better. Because if we just ignore conflict and we never really addressed it, and we never really said, right, okay, we need to sort this problem out, we would just feel more resentful, we would feel more frustrated, we'll feel more disconnected, we'd feel less understood. Because actually, you know, when we go through conflict, it's this chance of actually being able to be understood fully. It's the, you know, our opportunity to make things better and also to improve things for the future, so you don't have to go through the same kind of patterns again and again and again. So I do believe a part of this is actually reframing the way that we're actually seeing conflict. I mean, before, oh my gosh, if I'd have said, right, 10 years ago, you know, I was going through conflict in a relationship, oh gosh, it'd be the worst thing in the world. I'd be catastrophizing it. Gosh, the relationship needs to end, and all these different things, rather than, oh dear, you'd had to just, you know, disagreed about something, you know, just like two very individual humans would, you know. It's about putting everything back into perspective. And I think this is something that's really important for more emotional people like myself. Being able to feel what you are feeling and putting it into context. Because I know that, you know, I know this, it's not just me, but when I feel angry about something, oh my gosh, everything's terrible. Everything's terrible when I feel angry about something. This is terrible and that's terrible and oh my gosh, you know, we can catastrophize things. So I'll get my teeth back in. And the thing is, sometimes when we're in an emotional place, like, just like the timeout, sometimes we just need to take a step back ourselves and basically only deal with conflict when we feel relatively, and I say relatively because we're never going to be fully in a neutral place, but relatively in a neutral place. And I think the other thing is being able to communicate effectively with each other. And this is, you know, it's very much around boundaries. So definitely check out some of the episodes I've done on boundaries in the past. And also, this is about how we're talking to each other. Are we talking to each other respectfully? And I think this is so, so important. You know, are we talking to each other out of love, out of respect? Or are we talking out of frustration, anger, and feeling the need to punish? Because like I said, you know, we... if we see someone being naughty, we want to tell them off. We want to tell someone off and punish them and tell them how bad we feel. You're a very, very naughty person, you. you know, in order for them to go, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. You know, that's the outcome we're looking for. Unfortunately, you know, as adults and, you know, when we're dealing with very different personality types, that's not the outcome we're looking for. We're just looking to find something that works well for both of us, for both parties in that relationship. So, let's talk a little bit about how you can start talking about the clear outcome of what you're wanting when it comes to conflict. So, think about this. What would be, you know, when we think about outcomes, it's important to say, right, okay, what's the outcome that you're wanting from this situation? And then it's being able to ask ourselves, okay, what can I actually healthily expect from this person? And this is so important because I think a lot of people get healthy expectations wrong. They tend to completely ignore them and they strive for absolute perfection. And you know, we can't. It's like when we hold people at such high standards, you know, they're guaranteed to trip up. They're guaranteed to do something wrong. And you know, that's going to cause conflict or upset or anything like that. So, for example, I'm going to choose like a really ridiculous example because they're usually funny and they usually get the point across a little bit. So, or do I go for a serious one? Okay, now do you know what? I'm going to go for the loose eat one because I think it's just funny and you'll remember it. So, let's say that you're with a guy. And you notice that, you know, he's been a bachelor for a while. You know, you've moved in together and you've realised that toilet seat is constantly up. And you're like, you know, you've got to the point where you've just literally had this outburst and you've just gone, why on earth can't you just put the bloody loo seat down? What's so hard about that? Okay, think about that. You know, we've all got to that situation where we've just snapped over something. Now, being able to have a conversation and say, look, you know, I know that you've been, you know, single for a while. I know that this hasn't been a priority for you, but this feels like it's respectful to me, the fact that you put the loo seat down or whatever, you know, whatever your argument may be. And being able to communicate that. And let's say, yep, he's accepted it. Oh, gosh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Didn't think, da, da, da. And, you know, the next day, you know, notice, you know, the loo seat stayed down. And, you know, let's say a couple of days later, and you've walked into the bathroom and the bloody loo seat's up again. Now, what is
the healthy approach or next steps that you would take from there? Would you A, bash them over the head and tell them, oh my gosh, you know, that bloody leaf seat's down, up again, not happy, and have a massive fit about it? B, would you just say, oops, just notice Lucy's up, I'm going to put it down. C, do nothing. Now, when we talk about these healthy expectations, when someone has been doing this pattern for years and years and years, is it healthy to expect that they're going to change completely overnight? You know, you think about a pattern that someone's been doing subconsciously for a long, long time. They're not even thinking about it, and that's the way that they're acting and doing. Is it healthy to expect them to change overnight? No. So what I would say, if it was a one-off occurrence like that a few days later, is I would say either C, or if you really needed to, because sometimes we just love to be able to go, look, you're wrong, and tell them off slightly, is B. Oops, you left the Lucy up. Just let you know, I'm going to put it down. And that's it. It doesn't have to be this big argument or mean anything or anything like that. So it's having those healthy expectations and also being willing to work as a bloody team. Because I think this is the other thing. You know, we forget that we're both on the same team. It's not this battle against each other and trying to keep each other in line and all this kind of stuff. No. It's about working as a team and getting the best out of yourselves and getting the best out of each other and the relationship. And it's remembering that. So, and I think the other thing with healthy expectations is that it's remembering you're both human. Okay, you're both human. You're going to make mistakes, you're going to get things wrong, you might have emotional flip outs and all the rest of it, you might, have moments where you're like, oh my goodness, what am I doing with this person, all these different things. That's just the human experience, and it's having that level of compassion to yourself and also to your partner. Because the funny thing is, as well, the way that we treat others is a reflection of how we're treating ourselves. So especially if you're someone who holds themselves to really high standards, we automatically hold people that are closest to us to those standards as well. And those people, and I've been one of these people too, those people are often the ones that feel that they have been let down the most in life by people. And they often only have a very small circle of people that they are very close with. And that's okay. But it's just being mindful, if you are that person, of how high you hold those expectations to your friends and also to yourself. Give yourself a little bit of wriggle room to be human. Super important. And I think the other thing around conflict resolution is the thing that you're upset about, is it, and this is going to sound a bit of a weird one, is this the truth? Or is this what you're making it mean? So if you've got upset over something, let's say, let's use the restaurant example, that they were late. Oh gosh, it means they don't love me and we're going to need to split up and it's going to be terrible. Oh my gosh, he doesn't love me. What a terrible person. when we have a look at the emotional context of something, sometimes we take things way out of context. And what this usually is it's based on a story that we have written and connected to our identities from a young child. So if there is a story that you've had where it's like, oh, I'm constantly unloved, no one cares about me, I'm worthless, I'm not enough, and so nothing in my life feels enough, you know, whatever it might be, we can literally, anytime that we feel triggered over something or upset over something, we can suddenly take that lens, put it over that situation and make it mean whatever we want to make it mean that's in line with our story of what we're telling ourselves. So really check in with that, because when we have a look at that situation, it's like the truth is he was late. Did it mean that he didn't want to be there? No. Did it mean anything? No, it just meant he was late. Does it mean that she's worth less because he's arrived late? No. So it's being able to look at things objectively and find the truth again, rather than what the story that we've created it to mean. Because I think that's the interesting thing around conflict. It's always about the stories. It's always about the story of what we make something mean. And I've been in a very interesting situation this week where I've had friends, certain circle of friends, and they've all fallen out. And I've been in a very unique situation where I've listened to each of their points of view and what's been coming up for them around that situation. And being able to observe this at a distance, it's made me realise that all their stories, all their internal stories of what they believe about themselves, they're playing out in this conflict. And that's really important to notice and understand when it comes to conflict. It's like we're trying, you know, we all try to play out the role of the identity of who we believe we are. Okay, that's really, 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 really important. So if you've, you know, I think we've all seen friends who have the story of the victim, for example, and, you know, anything that happens in their life, it's to be against them and how bad they've had this life and all this kind of stuff. And there's nothing in their life that seems to go right, whether it's relationships, work, friendships, you know, that it's constant. Or you might have someone who is highly successful and they're successful within their job, within their relationships and all these different things. And the difference is just who we believe we are. So do a little bit of a check-in. And, you know, if you're going through conflict, almost ask yourself, okay, am I playing a role of my identity right now? Of, you know, am I creating a story where I am worthless? Am I making this mean that I'm not lovable? Am I making this mean something negative about me and the relationship? So do check that in and sort of get back to the truth of what the situation is, what the outcome that you want, and what's going to be accepted to you. Because boundaries, you know, boundaries really do come into being able to do, you know, to solve conflict successfully. You know, this is about knowing yourself, knowing what's acceptable, knowing what's going to feel good for you, and being able to action that with someone. To be able to say, this is what I want, this is what's going to feel good, this doesn't feel good. and how can we make sure that we're not going to be in this situation in the future? The funny thing is as well, like when I work with couples or when I've worked with singles who have gone into a relationship, you know, who've met their partner, the first thing that they say after working together for a while is they'll say, I've never talked in our relationship or any relationship as much as I do in this one. And this is why, you know, you end up learning so much about each other, you know, being able to talk about all these different things, talk about boundaries, talk about your needs, but you also learn so much about yourself because you're being asked questions about yourself and you're listening to certain aspects of each other. Where you can turn around and say, oh yeah, that works for me, or that doesn't work for me, and oh yes, well that's good for you, but that's not right for me. So you can start to work out what's similar in similar within you and your partner, and what's different, and what could potentially cause conflict. And I think one thing that's really interesting in relationships is the things that cause the most conflict are often the things that we prioritise in our lives the most that are often different from each other. So, for example, I wouldn't recommend two people who really prioritise politics who support different parties to be together, because again, you know, it's something that they really prioritise in their life, is something that they're going to be talking about a lot. And it's something that they don't agree with each other, and that's going to be really hard to manage. There's going to be a lot of damage control there.
So it's being able to understand what's going to cause the most conflict in your relationship and how to minimize the conflict and minimize the damage. The other thing that I want to mention as well is your self-worth, your confidence and your trust within yourself will also impact your ability to be able to resolve conflict. And the reason I say this is because it's realizing, like a lot of people that really struggle with conflict are often people that are afraid to get their point across. They're afraid of being able to say their needs. They're afraid of actually coming across as demanding or anything like that or selfish. But the truth is, you need to realize that what you need and, you know, who you are, it matters. It actually matters. What makes you happy? It matters. And it's being able as well to have the confidence in yourself to be able to go ahead and get that for yourself. And, you know, I think the biggest thing as well is when you're able to communicate that and you're able to resolve conflict in a healthy way and you're getting your needs met, you're building trust within yourself too, because this is basic boundaries, you know, of being able to actually say, look, this is what I need. How can we work together so we can achieve that? Thank you very much. And I think the other thing is as well is making sure, you know, going back to expectations, that our expectations are actually healthy as well and not controlling. You know, for example, if we're focused on, we're upset with someone because they haven't told us how amazing we are and we need to be built up all the time, well, that's not necessarily healthy because we're relying on someone else to feel good. So it's really, really important to be able to understand what's healthy and what's not. I mean, and I think sometimes there's a few things where there's probably a lot of grey areas because, for example, you know, relationships, you need to find that balance of, you know, going from codependence, you know, what's a codependent relationship versus an interdependent relationship, where you've got a bit of independence, where you know who you are outside the relationship, where you're not using the relationship like a crutch. So it's important to understand the healthy parameters of your relationship and of your life and your expectations of each other as well. Because, you know, coming back to being responsible for someone, you know, you wouldn't want to be responsible for someone's happiness and you wouldn't want your partner to be responsible for your happiness. Same goes for self-worth, same goes for confidence and all these different things. You want to be an independent person in that way where you are able to fulfill yourself. Otherwise, if you're relying on your partner, that is very codependent. Please don't do that. Please work together to get out of it, because that's a very toxic place to be in your relationship, and you're not going to get the best out of your relationship. So from this, I would love to know how you would perhaps handle conflict differently now. What are you going to do to improve your relationships, and how are you going to be able to really understand your needs and communicate them in a healthy and loving way? Because the funny thing is, we still can do, you know, conflict resolution from a loving space, and that's important to know too. And I think, you know, it's being confident to be able to actually communicate our needs and understand what they are. I think one thing that's quite funny that a lot of my clients say when they've been working with me is that a lot of the work that we do together is them understanding themselves, is them having that deeper understanding of who they are, what they want in life. That's usually why we end up having a lot of people changing their jobs, you know, moving house, like changing some part of their life, because it's not aligned. And I think this is the other thing that's really important with relationships, is understanding what's really good, what aligns with you the best, what do you want from a relationship, what type of personalities work well with you, what do you need if you're in a current relationship, what do you need from your partner to be able to handle conflict easier in future. And I think the other thing is don't be afraid to bend the rules slightly when it comes to conflict. Lots of people believe that you have to do conflict resolution face to face. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to do things via email or messaging or something like that. I mean, Joy and I went through a stint where we decided to deal with any conflict through email. And you know what? It worked beautifully because we were able to get out everything that we wanted to say and everything that we felt was important for each other to understand. So we had all the information to work with between each other to be able to find the right outcome for us both. So I think this is the other thing, is just finding what actually works well for both of you. Because at the end of the day, it's remembering you're two individuals, you're coming together, you're building a relationship, and you're learning so much about each other, how each other works, how you both communicate, your different needs, your different expectations for the relationship as well. And obviously that can have a huge impact when we think, oh, well, this is normal for a relationship. And yeah, the partner's going, no, it's really not. So it's finding out what you both want and what your expectations are and how you can navigate that together. And remember, you're both human. That is, like, I cannot repeat that enough. You're both human. So remember, in any situation you're in, you know, remember to deal with it in a compassionate way. And also, you know, understand that you're only going to be able to effectively go through conflict resolution if you are both accountable for your actions, and also that you're both able to listen to each other. Because often, you know, we're so focused on wanting to get our point across that we forget to listen. So remember to listen to each other, work together, you're both on the same team, to be able to get the outcome that's going to serve both of you in the best possible way. And if you're feeling hurt by a situation, remember the intention of your partner. If you're feeling hurt, I can almost guarantee that they didn't do something directly to hurt you. And if they did, then maybe question whether this is something that you want in a relationship. There was actually a study that was done. I'm trying to remember the lady who conducted the study. But basically, the most successful couples that have been together for a long period of time, I think it was 92% of men and 94% of women, said that trustworthiness was one of the biggest components of a successful relationship. And if you think about it, trust always comes from healthy expectations, open communication, and vulnerability. Okay, so you can only do that through true communication, understanding yourself, and being able to get that across. Okay, so I hope that this has been useful. And you know, if you ever get stuck, that's okay. Work it out together. Remember, you're both on the same team. Now, if there's anything else that you feel like you're struggling with within relationships, then feel free to go ahead and check other episodes of this podcast. You can check out on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. There's so many different episodes. You can also check out our website. So that's www.lovewithintelligence.com. We've got loads of blogs that go into various different areas. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. We tend to publish lots of different articles. And if you haven't already, go and check out our personalised love report. You would be amazed by the feedback that I've been getting from so many people from this report alone, because it's impacted so many people's lives, love lives in particular, in such positive ways, because it gives people the chance to actually reflect on their love life and to also find out the direction they need to go into to be able to enjoy the best love life possible. And that's on our website, so lovewithintelligence.com, and you'll find it on the front page, and it's the personalized love report. And we go into several different areas that's really important to look at when it comes to
giving you the best possible direction. And also, it gives you a chance to actually ask a question in the report. And I give you the opportunity to have that question answered by me absolutely free, because I know that that's going to be something that's going to support you and enjoying more love in the future. And that's so important. Who doesn't want a life with more love? So if you do want to go and check that out, jump over to our website. I'll say it one last time. It's lovewithintelligence.com. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I hope that this improves any conflict that you've got going on in your life. And you want to share anything with me, feel free to do that too. My email address is lily.walford, so that's lily.walford, WALFORD, at lovewithintelligence.com. All right, so I'm going to leave it there. Have a beautiful week and bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and I shall see you next time. Bye for now.